Lunch with Lloyd.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8.
Hi guys, welcome along to this very special podcast. It's Mark Lloyd from Lunch with Lloyd. We had a lot of great topics on the show last week. One of them was words of wisdom that have been passed on to you, maybe from your parents, maybe from friends or even work colleagues that have really stayed with you and will stay with you throughout your life. We also looked at the top three DIY food boxes that you can avail of from Just Food DXB, and we also checked out some brand new themed brunches and talked a little bit about keeping safe when you head out to brunch this weekend. A vegan chef. I've never come across one before, but I did today, the first time that I met and interviewed a vegan chef, and that was Chef Tony. And finally, we wrapped up taking a look at what we need to be watching in the world of Hollywood with our movie critic, William Mullally.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I was just looking, just kind of reminiscing last night on things that people have said to me over the years. And what has someone said to you that will really stay with you for the rest of your days, forever, really? You know, some words of wisdom, maybe a little bit of advice. And I always remember my school teacher. I'd just started in kind of secondary school, so kind of moving up in the world a little bit. Probably be about, I don't know, about 12, something like that. And we all had to get up in class, Zena, and read a passage from a book. It could be a storybook, whatever this book was. And I always remember this book was My Family and Other Animals by Gerald Durrell. And we all had to read a paragraph or two. And so it came my turn, you know, a little bit nervous and standing up in the class reading this paragraph from the book. And we went round the class. And then at the end of the class, the teacher called me over and she said, one day, young man, you will work in a job or have a career using your voice. Can you believe that? And got into broadcasting and I've used basically nothing but my voice ever since.
Oh, wow. Your teacher basically predicted the future.
Yeah, she did. And she, I suppose, maybe could spot a little bit of, you know, talent
or
something.
So
yeah, I know, a little bit of talent in reading out text. So, yeah, she was my English teacher as well. And I'm trying to remember her name. I've got to remember her name by the end of the show.
But, you know, maybe subconsciously, she was the one that pushed you into this industry.
No, because I was quite late into this industry. It wasn't like I left school and suddenly went to broadcasting, because music became my thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had a career in music for a long, long time before I ever set foot into a radio station.
Wow.
Yeah.
But years, decades later.
So she predicted it decades later, yeah. I mean, you know, words of wisdom like that really stick with you. I mean, does anything spring to mind for you,
yeah.
Zena? Go on, tell me.
A lot of people have told me this, and I haven't really taken their advice. They said, you know, they look at me from head to toe and go, don't wear flat shoes.
Really?
5'2". And true enough, when I moved to Dubai, everyone is taller than me.
Right.
But I still wear flat shoes because they're so comfy.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you in a pair of heels.
No.
Will I ever?
Maybe. I like to wear wedges. But yeah, that's one piece of advice. Everyone keeps telling me that, and it's stuck to me. But I never follow it.
Right. Interesting as well. Another one, my music teacher, his name was Keith Wall. I can't remember his name. Great keyboard player. He said, just because a piece of music is on wax doesn't mean it's good. So what he was saying was, just because it's, you know, on a record doesn't mean it's good. So that's always stuck with me as well. We're going to go to the lines where Sarah joins us on the show. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, brilliant to have you back on the show, Sarah. So words of advice, you know, a little bit of kind of words that have stuck with you for a long, long time. What would yours be?
Okay, so I was younger. I was maybe in my late teens.
Yeah.
And I had just broken up with a boyfriend all over the place emotionally. So I wanted to keep calling him. And one day my father walked into my room and he told me, he's like, have you ever been in shower with a soap, wet soap in your hand? And the tighter you try to hold it, the slipperier it gets.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. And he goes like, well, men are like that. You have to let them go. You need to let it fall. And then pick it up slowly.
Wow.
So I'm 40-something years old today. And that advice has helped me all my life, I give that advice to my son and my daughter and everybody else I know who's got the same problem.
What a nice line, eh? That, I love that one.
Yes, and my father was a slippery man himself.
So was he really?
Coming from him, that was great advice.
Coming from experience then, by the sounds of it, from your dad,
exactly.
Yeah. What
exactly.
A great line, yeah, and that has stuck with you, and you've passed that on to a new generation, yeah?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I say it to my nieces, to my own kids. I'm happily married. Unfortunately, now I don't use it for myself anymore.
No.
But I use it to everybody who's in a relationship and is dying to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And you just need to let it go. And if it comes back, it comes back.
Yeah, it's meant to be, isn't it, then? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, absolutely brilliant to have you on the radio talking about that. Harish joins us on the show. Harish, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Mark. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for joining us. So what little piece of wisdom was passed on to you that will stay with you forever?
All right. So this was passed down from my boss to me. And it goes as this, pain is temporary. However, regret is forever.
Pain is temporary and regret is forever. And it was your boss. What was the conversation, around that?
So it was on the golf course.
Okay.
And that's what it was. So it was like, yes, go ahead and take the shots because, you would get temporary pain. But if you don't put your full effort into the shot, you're going to regret it forever.
Nice. A little piece of advice there that stuck with you. Harish, thanks for joining us on the show. We also had Dr. Andrew who messaged in. Hi, Mark. An Austrian countess once told me that if you put your energy into the universe, the universe will respond. And apparently it's worked for you, Doctor, ever since. One of our listeners saying, my mum's empowering words of wisdom has been that, son, you were born to be lucky and strong. So whatever problems you face in your life, you'll find solutions. And Cherian joins us on the show. Good afternoon to you, sir.
A very good afternoon, guys. I'm very, very, very glad to be speaking to you.
Yeah, cool. I believe you're listening up in Abu Dhabi. So tell me, let's take a step back and look at words of wisdom that were given to you. What were they?
Well, my parents have instilled a very good training in to me and my brother. And one of the famous lines they always told me was, you are free to make your own choices, but you're not free from the consequence of those choices. So plan your decisions, prepare, study the impact, your education, your first studies, your later decisions. So speak to the elders, learn from experience.
That's really good advice, isn't it? And, it's obviously stayed with you. Have you acted on that? Have you made good decisions, Cherian, throughout your life?
I've learned. I mean, what they say is, good experiences come from decisions, and those decisions come from good experiences. So it's a fine balance. It's a good mix and match.
Yeah.
So you learn as life throws events at you.
Yeah, but it's amazing, isn't it, that those
yes,
words
is.
Stay with you. Can you remember the time that your mother or your father actually told you those words?
I think when I was about to finish high school, I had the option of choosing my area of discipline.
Yeah.
So I had a personal interest in the technical side of things, and I said, that's fine, as long as you're able to reap out of those benefits of what you learn. So there are small elements, small tidbits of nuggets of wisdom where you apply these in your daily life. So this is what I want to share with the listeners of Dubai Eye.
Yeah, great words, Cherian. I really do appreciate it. What are you up to this weekend? Anything planned?
I am fully available. I'm based in Abu Dhabi, so I'm stuck up over here taking it easy.
Relaxing. That's the best way to spend a weekend. Cherian, thank you so much for your call. Kaiser joins us. Good afternoon, Kaiser. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Chief. Well.
Good stuff. So, what words of wisdom did you get told?
Simple ones. I mean, when we started off as young traders here in one of the treasuries in the local bank, I mean, the line was, the trend is your friend, don't fight it. And this was about the time, I'm giving my age away, but this was about the time of the Asian crisis, right?
Okay.
Where the Japanese kept trying to prop up their currency, but the market eventually took it the way it wanted to.
So the trend is your friend, don't fight it. It sounds like it's something out of the movie Wall Street, that, doesn't it? It could be, part of the script.
Could well be, but no. This is, look, we've seen it, you see it now. All these central banks pumping in lots of money, but, Murphy's Law, right? If it's broke, it's going to be broke.
Yeah.
Can't fix it.
And have you followed it? Have you followed that kind of rule of thumb?
You can't because, it takes a long time for that to establish, but then you keep that, you sort of keep that vision or perspective mm-hmm. when you're actually looking at the markets, right?
And who was it that actually told you that? Was it your boss at the time?
That was my boss at the time, yeah.
Yeah? And did you take any notice of him? Did you think, what's he talking about way back then?
Well, back then we used to trade FX, and back then FX used to move a lot, right?
Right.
And, it did. So you see short-term blips here and there, but the longer-term trend, if you follow that, pretty much is directional, right? And if it's headed in one direction, central banks can come and do whatever they want, but eventually it will go where it has to go.
Interesting stuff, Case. I really appreciate you giving us a call and having a chat. Anna joins us on the show. Good afternoon, Anna. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, you sent us a message. This is a real special one. Just tell me about words of wisdom that you were given and, how it affected you.
I was going through a really hard time just after losing people in my family. And a colleague of mine, actually, she told me, you shouldn't allow their death, their passing away, to affect you more than their life.
Right.
It really touched me, because then whenever I was very, very down, I was thinking that they wouldn't want me to be this way and that they should, I should be happy for them and learn from their lives more.
Yeah. The actual saying is kind of, don't let their death affect you more than their lives. Yes, celebrate the time that you spent with them, I guess, is the message there.
Yeah, and remember what you've learned from them when they were alive, when they were beautiful people.
Lovely words. Anna, really appreciate you giving us a call today.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Right then, we're going to talk food up next. And Alex Augusti joins us on the line from Just Food DXB. Alex, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How have you been?
Very good, sir. Were you naughty as a child, just before we get into the food? Were you a naughty kid? Did you get in trouble with anyone?
Not so much. My older sister was naughty enough for both of us, so I kind of flew under the radar.
Right, you just kept your head down, did you? Well, she got in all the trouble.
Absolutely.
So, Alex, of course, you have the food vlog, Just Food DXB. You can find it on Instagram and on TikTok. We're talking today about DIY food boxes. Zena, is that something that's, that you order? Do you kind of ever, send for one of those?
During the pandemic, I ordered from one or two places, and one of them was this fancy place called Folly. I had never been to that restaurant before, but I just had a hankering for a piece of steak, and they were offering these DIY food boxes, and you could make your own bread, steak, okay. and, lentils, and... it's so weird because you have to make it. They give you all the instructions and everything's carefully measured. And when you're having it at home, it's like a 5-star meal, but at home.
Yeah.
So it's not the complete experience, but it was definitely a unique one.
Did it work out? Was it fun to make and did it taste good?
It was fun to make. It tasted good. It actually depends on you. If you follow the instructions to a T, then it would taste good.
Yeah, you
In
can't
my
go
case,
wrong.
It was fabulous.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, good to know. So, Alex, coming back to you, you've got your top three DIY food boxes. Is it something that you avail of very much, Alex?
Not too much. I go out to eat quite a bit, but when it comes to the weekend and you want to kind of spend some time doing things you love, then we always order in at least one of these just to kind of tide us over the weekend. So it's every other week.
Every other week you try it. Okay. So you've come up, you found three that you can really recommend. So where are we going to get started?
So the first one is a company called Get the Box, which is a DIY burger kit.
Okay.
So last week we went to Wadi Shoka, we'd done our hike, we set up the barbecue down by the river, and then we get this massive box out of the car. So when you open it up, it's got everything you need. So they really have thought about the customer experience. They've got the buns are pre-cut, you've got plates, you've got rubbish bags, you've got sauces, all the salad has been cut for you. So it makes it really simple to do. But there are obviously a lot of burger kits around, but this one was unique because the burgers themselves are like Wagyu burgers. They are absolutely phenomenal. So when you put them on the barbecue, they keep a lot of moisture. They actually taste great. So, yeah, we ate all of them.
And how many were in the box?
So we had six in ours because there was only two of us. So yeah, three burgers each. It was a bit excessive.
Okay.
But they also have 12 in a box.
Literally, is it step-by-step instructions? You know, get the burger out of the box first and, heat your barbecue up. I mean, how kind of comprehensive are those instructions from there?
It's very, very simple. You just get the burgers out of the container, you pop them onto the barbecue, and as you do that, you just assemble the burger with your lettuce, your tomato, onion, your sauces. And then as soon as the burger's ready, you just pop it back in the bun and you're off to go.
And is it affordable? I mean, how much are we looking at to get one of these boxes?
So for six burgers, it was 200 dirhams. For 12, it was 350. So it averages out around 30 dirhams a burger. And when you consider like the quality of the flavour,
yeah,
I'd say it's 100% worth it.
And was it good quality? Did it, you know, really blow your mind as a good burger?
Yeah, so it actually had a higher fat count. So when you put it on the barbecue, it kind of renders that fat down. It gets a nice crust because of the juice. So you know I love a burger, so I was very impressed.
Yeah, okay, so that's Get the Box. You've got another one that leans more to pastry, I believe.
Yeah, so this is a brand new homegrown business called Flower Girl. So Farah has set it up with her two brothers. She's actually the ex-pastry chef at Nobu, so she definitely has the experience. So what she specializes in is croissants, flans, cookies, but then she does these things called cruffins, which are croissant muffins, if you imagine.
Cruffins.
We had a lemon meringue one, and it was like filled with this lemon syrup. It was absolutely to die for.
A cruffin. I like the sound of that. You just order the box. I take it, do you have to make these as well, or do they just arrive already made?
Thank goodness they're already made for you. So they just get delivered in a big box, and you go online, you choose which ones you want, and then they'll just deliver them in these big boxes for you.
And Flower Girl, of course, spelled F-L-O-U-R. Nice name, Flower Girl. Right, we've got one more to take a look at then, Alex. What is this one all about?
So this one is a hot sauce company called Odd Sauce. So you say hot sauce with a bit of a French accent. And it was created by Ambika. She uses all her own recipes. They're 100% natural, vegan, gluten-free, everything you need. So there's three sauces. You've got the mellowing, which is made with like a bird's eye chili. So it's a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah.
You've got a puckering, which is habanero and mango. So you've got the spicy and the sweet. And then you've got the original, which is habanero and coriander. Now, they are definitely hot. So
right,
you can manage spice. If you like spice, go for the original. If you're a bit cautious, go for the mellowing.
Okay, so that's hot sauce, spelt H-A-U-T-E, for your sauces. I mean, the kind of the original one, does it really blow your head off?
Yes. they definitely taste good. Like, there's a lot of flavour. But it gets those endorphins rushing. It is definitely a hot sauce, but you put it on things like grilled cheese, eggs, baguettes. It actually adds a lot of flavour, but then definitely a lot of heat.
Okay, and what are we looking at price-wise there?
So it's about 55 dirham for a jar, or you can get a big jar for around 200 dirhams. So if you have it and you like it, you will fly through a jar of it. So go for a big one.
All right, and what about Flower Girl? We didn't touch on the price for Flower Girl.
So each item is around 15 to 20 dirhams. So if you go on, you can get a range of croissants. So about 15 to 20 dirhams. It's actually reasonably priced.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
So just for the hot sauce, you know, they're in jars and not in bottles, which is quite unusual. And I suppose, you know, 55 dirhams, you just slather them everywhere. Just get a big chunk of it, big spoonful. So it's kind of more enjoyable to eat.
Maybe start on a small spoonful to start.
Oh, gosh. Yes, of course.
How do you plan your weeks out? I mean, what have you got coming up, Alex? Do you work ahead and think, right, next week I'm going to focus on breakfast and next week I'm going to check out steakhouses? What have you got on the boil?
So I usually ask the followers on Instagram what they want to see. So they'll say, you know, next week we want to find some Japanese restaurants. And then I'll spend the week going around to Japanese restaurants
okay.
to try and find my top three. And then that's what I can come and tell you about.
Cool. And where can we follow you?
It's on Instagram and TikTok at JustFoodDXB.
Alex, always a pleasure to have you on there. We shall be ordering those boxes and we'll be having a go putting them together. Love the sound of the DIY burger kit. That would definitely be mine.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Now, coming up next, he's one half of Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. And that's all they do. They try out brunches so that they can recommend some of the best ones. Now, earlier on today on the Business Breakfast, interesting conversations, and they ask, can your boss stop you from going to a brunch? I don't think anyone had stopped Mr. Brunch, but of course, everything is done with all the rules in place. And AJ, welcome to the show. I think we're going to start today just by reminding people, you know, some of the things that we need to keep in mind when we head out brunching during a pandemic.
Thanks, Mark, and happy Thursday. And yeah, definitely nobody's going to stop myself and Lucy from going to a brunch, but obviously we will take the necessary precautions. So for everyone out there, everybody knows what they should be doing, but anytime you do leave your table, the first thing is put your mask back on, whether it's to the toilet or whether you're taking a phone call. Often that's one of the biggest infringements that people get caught with. The second one is make sure that you know and you're up to date with the particular restaurant's rules regarding table sizes. So, for example, a few weeks ago it went back from 8 to 10, for example, and don't violate the social distancing rules. Even if you're tempted to go over and say hi to Jane from accounts, for example, after a few glasses of bubbly. And I guess the final most important one is even more so now, if you need to cancel your booking, please, please, please let the restaurant know. Not showing up is, obviously it's rude anyway, but with reduced restaurant capacity as it is, it can make a huge difference to the restaurant bottom line. And obviously with the announcement today with no entertainment, that's down to people not following the rules during the entertainment, and it isn't fair to all of the DJs, the bands, the performing artists who rely so much on brunch gigs. So please do take it easy. Brunches are still on, but no entertainment this week.
Yeah, the cancellation thing really is a big issue. I mean, we've actually spoke about that on the show in the past, you know, and some of our listeners were saying, well, you know, you should have a system where you pay a deposit and if you cancel, you don't get it back. I don't know if that would ever work, but, you know, yeah, cancellation if you're not going to show up. And I've heard of people sometimes make reservations in three different places and then decide at the last minute which one they're going to go to.
No, that's just not one, is it?
No.
It's not fair on the restaurants. And yeah, we need to support our restaurant industry.
Definitely. Right then. So, you know, brunch responsibly, mask on if you're leaving the table, social distancing, of course. Let's take a look at some brunches that have caught your eye this week.
Yes, on a happier note. I have to state that these brunches and the information that we've got on them are obviously pre the announcement that came out this morning. So anyone who came in that is mentioned will be on hold this weekend. But we're starting off at a new brunch launch. It's called That Brunch, and it's going to be launching at White Dubai. So they used to do just one-off pop-up brunches. They started with That Garage Brunch and then That Back to School Brunch. But this one's going to be a regular weekly installment outdoors at White Dubai, which is, as you know, it's usually a nightclub. So this one will be from 1 till 4:30 p.m. with an after party. And it's actually hosted by Kind Tempers DJ, DJ Charlie, and Be More Than Events. So it's focused on all those feel-good classics from house music, old-school R&B, and a bit of UK garage thrown in for good measure.
All right, so this is up at Maidan, isn't it?
It is, yes, up at Maidan, up on the rooftop at White.
Okay, and what are we looking at for our wallets to endure for this one?
The soft drinks package and mocktails is 199 dirhams.
Yeah.
We have the next package, which is hops and grapes, which is 300, and the top package is bubbles for 485.
Okay, so that's that brunch at White at the Maidan. Where are you taking us next?
We're going to Media City, and this one's called Dirty Fridays at the Icon at Radisson Blue. So, yeah, probably better explain where the name comes from. So it plays on everyone's inner cheat day, I guess. So everyone, all the good boys and girls, not myself included, are doing Dry January or Veganuary and everything. And this little rascal of a brunch wants you to get your hands really dirty and just break all of those healthy intentions.
Okay, so we're breaking all the rules at this one. The food rules.
Exactly. Food rules. So they got a selection of starters. So they range from sticky chicken wings and nachos and Cajun burnt ends and the Creole dip. So real wholesome, delicious food, not healthy in the slightest. And then you move on to these big sharing trays that they say they're worth making a mess over. And they suggest you create a tray out of five or six of their items, which you can keep refilling. So they've got things like brisket rolls and burgers and sticky ribs and chili mussels, hot dogs, and they've got dirty fries, which are obviously normal French fries, but you can chuck chili cheese and turkey bacon and onions on top. So, yeah, dirty.
It sounds like a lot of fun, does that one? That's at Icon, as you said, in Media City. What price does that come at?
Not bad. So that's Fridays 1 to 4, and that's $299 for your soft package or $399 for house. And you can even top up for an extra hour for an extra 99 dirhams.
Okay, that sounds like a fun one, doesn't it? What else have you discovered?
There's a brand new, going back to Maidan, but a different venue, there's a brand new hops garden at Soho Garden. It used to be just a nightclub and day beach club, but they've opened a nice chilled out garden in December this year. So comfy wooden tables and fairy lights. And it takes place, it's called the Street Brunch. It is on a Friday from 1 till 5 p.m. And it comes at a very January-friendly 299 dirhams. And that's for your full house beverage package.
Excellent. Okay, so that's a couple then going on over there at Maidan. And I want to wrap up with this one. It sounds very interesting. A family quiz brunch at the Void.
Yeah. So they keep springing these new venues up at the Studio City. And look, it's running around the corner from us. So we keep seeing these things pop up. So if you've ever been to the hotel, you'll notice from between the bottom of the hotel and the top of it, there's a huge gap. And it's a neighborhood hangout that they've designed in kind of New York graffiti style. Between the lower floors. It's like a rooftop bar, but with a hotel on top of it. So hence the name, The Void. This one is a family-friendly quiz/brunch. You can win prizes such as like a one-night stay or private screenings or food. And kids can come in and they get access to the kids' studio where they can do things like slime making and computer games. Yeah, great stuff. While adults enjoy the barbecue. But the whole theme of it is an entire family quiz. So once the kids are tired, they come back and it's a family-friendly question. So adults will need to swat up on their Disney knowledge because it's a good one to get the kids involved as well. The adults don't know their sports knowledge.
Sounds good. I think I do all right on that. I'm not bad on my Disney. So that's the family quiz brunch at The Void, which sounds like a very interesting venue. What are we looking to pay for that one?
So it is 125 dirhams for the adults, and then you have an option to add a beverage package on there for 99 dirhams, if you'd like. And then kids can come in and have a meal and a drink and access to all of the busy kids' studios for 50 dirhams.
Okay, cool. Like the sound of that. If we want to follow you guys, Mr. and Mrs. Brunch, around town with great videos and recommendations as to where we should go and brunch responsibly, where do we need to head to, AJ?
Thank you very much. So we have an Instagram page and it is just simply @Mr. and Mrs. Brunch. Very simple.
Fantastic. Well, enjoy your weekend. Really appreciate your time.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Then it's a vegan lunch coming up next. I've interviewed a lot of chefs in my time on the air, but never a vegan one before. But they're not very rare these days, apparently. And one of them has actually been inspired to create a menu for his restaurant. I'm talking about Chef Tony Giardella, who is the head chef at Duck Hook at Dubai Hills. He went vegan for Veganuary, and the rest is history, really. We'll say good afternoon to you, Chef Tony. How are you?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Very good, sir. So what made you go vegan? What was the, you know, kind of the tipping point for you?
Well, I think, first off, we saw it coming. We have more and more people asking about vegan foods, and, we actually sat down with a blank piece of paper and put myself in the mindset of being a vegan and what kind of foods I would typically like to eat. And I found it really hard. I found it a massive challenge.
Yeah.
So from that, I think I knew what I had to do. I had to try it out for myself.
And how easy was that? You know, I'm talking about maybe the first few days or so. Was it a little bit tricky, to say the least?
Yeah, it was difficult. I was lucky enough to have roped in a few of my colleagues with me, and we tried to have a bit of fun with it. We did a meal plan, and we took it quite seriously. And after the first couple of days, we actually noticed, well, we felt lighter, less bloated after meals, and we actually started to enjoy it.
Okay, so you were obviously in the right direction there and enjoying the food. So when it comes to putting a vegan menu together, how did that go? And, of course, Duck Hook has a meat-heavy menu. So this, and I'm guessing that's going to be staying, but this will be a refreshing addition to it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the hardest thing when planning vegan foods is obviously getting away from the meat and two veg idea.
Yeah.
So maybe thinking along the lines of three sides or a carbohydrate and building it up into a vegan meal was the way to go. Obviously, there's some great meat alternatives out there as well, which do help for maybe a more of a normal meal. And as more and more things become available, I think it will become more convenient and probably more people would like to try it.
So what are some of the vegan cooking must-haves then in your pantry? You know, what ingredients and what things are you creating on this menu?
I think some of the vegan must-haves would be, we saw this a lot when we were studying some recipes with cashew nuts. I think ground up for their texture, they're used quite a lot in vegan food. If you take ground cashew nuts with some nutritional yeast and some garlic, it's a great alternative to Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
And nutritional yeast in general for a creamy, cheesy flavor when you're trying to create vegan foods proved to be a really good ingredient to have in the pantry. Another great one was oats. We used them quite a few times with the different recipes that we tried.
All right. And so what are some of the standout dishes, would you say, on this new new menu that you're introducing at Duck Hook?
So we've used a few of the meat alternative dishes that are out there on the market. I mean, guest feedback and talking to vegans that come into the restaurant, we've tried a few different vegan sausages and vegan burgers and stuff like that, and they've gone down really, really well.
Yeah.
We also do our vegan roast, which is like a nut roast, which is probably the most popular vegan dish we do. We've made that completely gluten-free, so we tick all the boxes there, and that's having a great impact for the diners coming in.
What advice would you give to people that say, you know, have started January, they've give it a go, the veganary diet, and are about to give up, are on the edge of saying, I've had enough of it?
Yeah, I think a couple of ways to probably ease in, maybe choosing one day per week where you specifically don't eat any, you go completely vegan, and then once you're comfortable with that day per week, maybe increasing the days. Or even trying to go vegetarian, as soon as you're comfortable with that, start eliminating one or two non-vegan elements from your diet as well, would probably be the best way to ease into it.
Can you honestly say you're enjoying it? And do you think you'll ever maybe go back? Or is this your, you know, have you found the food that you absolutely love now, Chef?
No, well, first off, I have to come out and say I'm not a vegan or a specific vegan chef. I am, however, probably more inclined to looking at giving guests what they want. And that's the main challenge. What we're trying to do here is really connect and give the vegan customers a better option and probably a more thoughtful option as well. We've taken some of our classic dishes, like a sticky toffee pudding, completely stripped them down and rebuilt them with plant-based ingredients to give a vegan customer, when they visit our restaurants, a like-for-like dessert that they can really enjoy. And I think that's the challenge, and that's the thing that we're trying to get to, is how we transfer the great dishes that we have on our menu and make them available for the vegans that come to our restaurant.
Yeah. Well, good for you. It sounds like it's very exciting times over at Duck Hook at the Dubai Hills. Chef Tony, have yourself a brilliant weekend, and I hope you've got a busy restaurant over the weekend as well.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd.
Yes, and a very good morning. Right then, we welcome to the show right now the one and only Mr. William Mullally, our movie critic. William, good to have you on the programme.
Good to be here. There is another William Mullally, though. He is a doctor, though. He is my father.
So oh.
I'll take it.
What, does he know much about movies?
He has a very interesting taste in movies that I'm still trying to figure out after a few decades of my life.
Right, well, I can tell you, I've been watching some stuff of late. I've been going to a couple of movies, and I'm also into Lupin, which is something new for me. Finished Cobra Kai, William. Finished the second series, or was it the third, of Cobra Kai. Absolutely loved it, I've got to say.
Yeah, and I think Cobra Kai is just, it's amazing how much, you know, once things have the platform of going on a different streaming service, you know, this was something that was on YouTube originally, and now it's able to be seen by the entire world. I think it's just found a completely different, broader audience, and it's become this global phenomenon. It's fascinating to watch just the ways that things are distributed affect, you know, culture in that way.
Yeah. Do you think it's a bit corny?
Yeah, but that's the fun of it.
And that's why I love it so much.
Yeah, because they're basically, they know that they're doing a cheesy 80s movie. They're not just doing a remake. They're not, you know, doing, oh, let's do that, but let's make it, you know, fit a 2020 kind of gritty tone like everybody else does. They're like, no, we're going to make it feel like the original movie.
Yeah,
and that's why it works.
Yeah. And what about Crease? He's a nasty piece of work, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a show that hopefully can keep going for many years to come.
Yeah. Right then, let's get into something that you want to talk about. It's called WandaVision. Tell me about this.
WandaVision. So, 2020, for some people in more nerdy communities, is the year with no Marvel movies at all. We had no Marvel.
What? How did we survive?
Same. How did we survive? No, but seriously, it is crazy to think that, you know, after, you know, more than a decade where Marvel dominated everything, you know, we had everything, you know, Black Widow got delayed, everything got moved.
Yeah.
But I think we were also at a point that was the perfect break, you know, because we had just finished that last stage. We'd had, you know, Endgame conclude this story, and then we had this great epilogue with Spider-Man Far From Home. And so that was a good place, I think, to take stock and look, okay, where do we want to go next? And I think they realized very quickly, okay, we can't just give every character a movie. We need to innovate. We need to do different sorts of things. And having Disney Plus come online as this new streaming service and new platform, they're like, okay, how about we take the same creators, the same writers, the same actors, the same production values, and we do different sorts of stories for the small screen, continuing the entire broader Marvel world. So the first of those is called WandaVision, you know, very much like Mandalorian. I think it's this very premium TV show. But what's interesting about WandaVision, it's starring Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch, and Vision, played by Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, who really had a tremendous story throughout the Avengers films and have never really gotten the chance to fully shine on their own. But here we have a show that I think we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is. It's basically, we have the two characters who are trapped in a TV world. And the way that the show evolves is that in the first couple of episodes, they're kind of basically living in a sitcom from the early 1960s, you know, complete with a live studio audience, laugh track, you know, silly sorts of situations like, oh no, the boss is coming home for dinner. What are we going to cook? But it commits to that hard, but there's something going on here. There's something going on deeper. And there's these moments of weirdness where you realize that, you know, they are trapped there. There is something going on. This is not just going to be a normal sitcom. And there's just this air, this unnerving air boiling underneath the surface that just makes it fascinating. And they're going to continue to, it starts off in the 60s. We're eventually going to get to, you know, like an 80s Full House style sitcom. So I think it's a love letter to TV while also just being something interesting and new from the Marvel Universe.
Brilliant.
And I really loved what I've seen so far.
Here's a little clip from the trailer.
We are an unusual couple.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
We just don't know what to expect.
Howdy, neighbors.
Hey, bud.
There's a little clip from the trailer. I think I heard a Monkees tune in that, William.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Gene.
Tremendous song. Daydream Believer.
Yeah, Daydream Believer.
Sung by the great Davy Jones. I'm a big Monkees nerd.
Right. Anyway, you've managed to catch up with some of the people behind this and cast.
I did. So I think, I can't say I was most excited, but I was incredibly excited to speak with Deborah Jo Rupp, who's most famously known as Kitty from the classic sitcom That 70s Show. You know, as I was talking about the sort of situations that we get stuck in here. So the boss's wife, who comes over for dinner in the first episode, is played by Deborah Jo Rupp. And she brings this tremendous energy she's always had, you know, across, you know, remember she had this amazing guest role in Friends when Phoebe and was helping, you know, get the babies in her stomach, helping the mother and her brother. That was her as well, Deborah Jo Rupp. And here she's basically utilizing those classic, you know, sitcom chops of working in a front of a studio audience, but also they're allowing her to do things she's never done before. And my favorite scene in the first episode, things just start to get a bit weird at one point. And really, Deborah starts repeating the same thing over and over again. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And it becomes almost like a David Lynch movie. And her performance is tremendous. And so when I spoke to her, I had to ask, you know, how she was able to calibrate that performance when she's been doing, you know, things like That 70s Show for so long.
The director had to talk to me for a very long time because I didn't quite understand what was happening. I mean, you know, because we had done sitcom, and then we get to this kind of other twilighty zone is what I call it. These like moments that shoot in that I love. Once I understood though, I loved doing it because no one ever asks me to do this stuff. I always get the happy mom and the, you know, I loved every second of it. We did take after take after take. And poor Fred, who plays my husband, had to keep falling off a chair. And I go, no, let's do it again. Do it again. It was great. It was fun and weird and, you know, I just kept thinking about Rod Serling, Twilight Zone, and then that movie Get Out a little bit. I mean, it was just a combination of a whole bunch of different things, but I cannot even tell you how much fun it was to do.
How many different ways did you have to try it? Sorry, Dan.
I think the way was always the same, but the intensity level was different. Sometimes it was low, sometimes, you know, it was just, or Fred wouldn't fall off his chair, right? You know, you have to deal with that. No, he's wonderful.
Deborah Jo Rupp then, talking about working on this TV series at WandaVision.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai I 103.8.
You certainly are, and we're talking movies and things to watch over the weekend at the moment. William Mullally, our movie critic, is with us. We've just been talking WandaVision, where we heard from Deborah Jo Rupp. You also, William, managed to catch up with Bobby Lopez.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like the music is really an integral part of what makes this show work, and so they brought in, I think, the big guns from Disney in order to do that. You know, I think, you know, what over the last, you know, few years, we've seen, you know, some of the biggest songs come from them, with Bobby Lopez's and Kristen Anderson Lopez's names on it. The Let It Go song from Frozen, Remember Me from Coco. They are, you know, Oscar winners. They are actually EGOT winners. They've done things like The Book of Mormon and Avenue Q in the past. And so they really are just some of the top names in music today, just tremendous talents. And so here they were brought in to score the themes and also to capture the different tones of the different sitcoms over the years. And so they dug into the, you know, the, all the decades that we've had before in terms of, you know, what the greatest sitcoms were, what sort of stylings that they were bringing, and how they crafted, you know, also having a specific identity for this show, I think, was really fascinating from a musical perspective. And so when I spoke to them, we dug in a bit deeper on how they crafted this theme and evolved it over the years.
We knew we were going to have to write several different songs, but there needed to be something connecting them all. So Bobby said there should be a motif, and it's like the Where's Waldo of each one. Once it's all done, you'll be able to go back and go, oh, I hear it. But it's that WandaVision, which has a, that Wanda is just a lovely, like, octave, but then Vision is a tritone, which has that air of mystery. It's different than WandaVision. Like, that's a whole different thing. And that is buried in everything.
Yeah, it's in each episode. And knowing that, okay, the song we're writing today can go as, it can be really different from the last one we wrote, but it has to have that thing in there. It made it easier. It gave it a structure. It gave us a structure to work with. It was, structure is freedom.
And then I took a class at Williams College where I went, called The History of Jazz, but it really was The History of American Music. And you know, the difference between 50s jazz, which was all big band, very brass driven, versus 60s jazz, which had a lot of like marimba and the cool xylophone and cool bebop, into the 80s, where you're dealing with synth. The instrumentation was key. The language, you know, the in each one of these themes, you know, we didn't use the word like gal in the 80s. But you use it in the 50s. So, you know, just paying attention to everything about the period and the cultures of those periods and trying to pull them in as much as you can, like a glorious decade soup.
So the music, William, kind of follows the decades as well, in instrumentation and in style.
Yeah, I mean, this first one, you can really see, you know, sort of I Dream of Jeannie, Bewitched sort of vibe. In the tone, I'm really excited to see, because they told me after this that the one that they enjoyed the most was doing, you know, the 80s sort of, you know, Full House, Family Matters theme. It's going to be a bit more extended and lyrical, and I'm really excited to see what they bring to it. So that's definitely, I think, one of the highlights for why I'm going to be keep going back. And the region is actually only available on OSN. All the Disney Plus content, like The Mandalorian, is going exclusively to OSN here. So if people want to check it out, because I have had people asking me, like, when is this going to be available here? It is available now. The first two episodes are on OSN, and it will be releasing weekly from here on out.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's WandaVision. Want to touch on Wonder Woman. Went along to see that. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was brill. A real breath of fresh air. And I've also seen Soul as well. That is another one that you recommended to our listeners to pop along and see. A little unusual, but certainly if you like your jazz music, that is well worth a trip out at, William.
Yeah, I've actually seen both of them twice in theaters now.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you enjoyed Wonder Woman, especially because it's been a bit of a misunderstood movie. A lot of people just haven't responded to it as well, especially in other places where they're not watching it in theaters. But I think Soul is one that universally everyone is falling in love with. Everyone that I've recommended it to has come back and thanked me. I think, yeah, you said that it's not necessarily great for the youngest of viewers. And I think I would. I think it's definitely older kids, you know, more mature kids, because there's not necessarily a mature in, you know, explicit ways, but mature and emotionally mature, I think, is the way that this movie is best captured. And I think it's definitely something for adults and more emotionally mature kids alike to ponder and enjoy.
I think I'm emotionally mature, William. the animation as well. Wow. It's every time I go to the cinema and see another animated movie, it gets better and better.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, with the slate of movies that we have coming up, I'm so excited we have the ability to see all these movies in theaters that other people in other places in the world aren't able to. So I'm really excited to see, you know, how we continue to celebrate the theatrical experience.
Yeah, I read an article the other day that apparently Gal Gadot's husband is working out a lot these days so he can keep up with her. She's certainly in great shape, and I can't think of anyone better, really, to be cast as Wonder Woman.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, we're going to be seeing the Justice League re-release because they went back and fixed the movie and they turned into a four-hour thing. So we're going to have more Justice League Gal Gadot coming up very soon.
Yeah. Okay, as I mentioned earlier on, William, I've started watching Lupin. I've only got into the first episode, but I'm already hooked. Have you heard much about that?
Everyone's saying it's already potentially the best show of the year. I haven't had a chance to dive into it yet because I've been watching a Netflix show that I'm not allowed to talk about yet that doesn't come out for another month, which I just finished. But I think Lupin is something, you know, Omar Sy is just a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
Going back to Untouchables, you know, he's done some Hollywood things, but I think this is probably his big international star-making moment, and I'm really excited to see, you know, what he does with this.
Yeah, that's my weekend homework, is to watch a few more episodes of that. Now, you want to talk about, finally, One Night in Miami.
Yes, One Night in Miami. It just came to Amazon Prime across the world. It's actually from Ross Kemp, the writer of Soul, is the person
oh, right.
who wrote this
okay.
As well, and it's, I say, based on a true story. There's obviously some that has been imagined here, but there was an actual night in which Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, you know, Sam Cooke, and the American football player Jim Brown all got together and just hung out for one night in Miami and talked all throughout the night. And this reimagines that conversation. Obviously, it wasn't on the record, so we don't know for sure what they said. But I think it really captures each of them at a really interesting place in their life, because it's obviously set in 1964, the year before Malcolm X was assassinated, just a few months before Sam Cooke was killed, a year before Jim Brown retired, and right at the moment when Cassius Clay, as he was known before, became Muhammad
yeah.
Ali. So
yeah.
each of them is at this fascinating point. The performances are great. The conversations are great. And so if you really love diving into that sort of history, I think it's definitely something for you to enjoy, because it really gets into some interesting conversations about, you know, just the political nature of where, you know, the civil rights movement was at the time, as well as each of their own careers and where they're coming from. So it's just a fascinating thing.
Here's a little clip.
Ready for tonight? I'm as ready as a person can be. After the fight, we're all coming back here for the champs victory party. Don't be late.
Minister Malcolm X.
Good news, the chariot is coming.
You know I'm the greatest. That's right.
Jim Brown takes the ball.
Your record is going to stand the test of time.
How's everybody feeling tonight?
The goal is for us to really be free.
There's a little clip then, One Night in Miami, coming from William Mullally. Sounds like it could be one to check out this weekend. William, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Do enjoy your weekend, and happy viewing, sir.
Thank you, and you as well. And I think there's definitely lots of people to dig into. I'm curious to see what you're going to think of WandaVision, for sure.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
You're listening to Lunch with Lloyd
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Well, there we are. A lot to get through in our podcast. Hope you enjoyed it with William Mullally's take on what we need to be watching. Also, Chef Tony, the vegan chef, talking about his new menu at Duck Hook. We also checked out some brand new brunches and how to stay safe at brunches. And also the top three DIY food boxes, along with some words of wisdom that have been passed on from our elders. And we still remember to this very day. I'll be back with you this coming Sunday at 11 o'clock for Lunch with Lloyd. Hope you can join me then.